Okay. Let's rock and roll. First and foremost, I'm telling you is like, you know, today I have 4 pages, and this is only part one. Okay. There's a part two, which is like the more intense. This is just to give you an introduction. So I love reading the Bible. Okay. I like my favorite books are 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. In those things, I sit and I read that again and again. Those stories always make me like, you know, understand like what David went through, what all, like, you know, just living life and what would it be to live with the scriptures. But if you never want to open the Bible, you'll never reach there. So it just feels like I'm basically going to these places to kind of set a stage to see where God wants to go. Because I have a word from the Lord. I preach this message pretty much to myself in my sleep. Court basically woke me up and said, "You're talking to yourself in your sleep." I said, "No, I'm preaching to myself in my sleep." I knew this was what the Lord basically had released, and I know this is the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1 to 8. I'm going to read one verse, and then we'll figure it out from there. But David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul." This is the fun part of it. David basically is saying in his heart. How many of you all basically, if y'all came to church, y'all say, "Hey, I'm good." But in your heart, you're like, "Oh, I don't know. I'm going to die. I'm going to just fold over. I have no life before me. I have nothing." In your heart, you're saying that. You see, out of the heart flow the issues of life. So when your heart basically is not in the right place, anything you do will basically not be in the right place. It will not have the bearing of God. It will not have the very touch of God on it. And this is where basically the... So David is right now, I have to set the, let me go back. Okay. David is trying to stay in Philistine. And he's going to go to the king and he's going to ask, "Hey, give me a place over here." The king's going to give him. The very meaning of the Philistine, the root word is to wallow or to roll. Okay. Now you got to understand, this is David living in self-pity. We live in self-pity many a times because it feels nice. We roll in the mud like the pigs roll in the mud, and we feel very safe because that becomes our identity. David was never called to be wallowing in the mud. He was never called to live in a place of self-pity. He was called to be a king. The day we basically try to go and live in Philistine, you're basically wanting to live in self-pity. If the Philistines are one kind of people, if the spiritual connotation is right, they basically want to wear you out. The enemy in your life wants to wear you out. In whatever you do, you may feel that, "Oh, I'm so good. Oh, yeah, everything's good." But the enemy is constantly coming to wear you out. And little by little, he's trying to erode whatever God has deposited in you. And that's what his whole end is at the end, that nothing good comes out of you. So this is where we are going, okay? Okay. Verse 3, "And David dwelt with Achish at Gath." Do you know where Gath is? Who came from Gath? Goliath came from Gath. He was the champion of Gath. Okay, David, winning this battle, now goes back literally as a servant of the king. He goes back into that place which he had really supposed to conquer, rule, and reign. Sometimes we basically just fold over. Okay. The place, and David said to, verse 5, "And David said to Achish, 'If I had now found favor in your eyes, let me be given a place to dwell in some country town. For why should your servant live in the royal city with you?'" See, he doesn't even consider himself to be anything. "Then Achish gave David the town of Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag belongs to the kings of Judah to this day." Ziklag, the verb sug, means to press someone into giving up something. Basically, what is on the inside of you, will come out. If you're living in self-pity, and when the pressure comes, all you do is basically you'll just give up and you'll say, oh, I'm just a nobody. I'll just lie down. You can just give me, you know, whatever, and I'll walk away. And the way that he basically lives a life, a defeated or surrendered David is no threat to anyone. He even asks the king, the enemy's permission to live in Ziklag. We really have no identity at that point. Because we're just saying, just let me settle. I'm okay over here. You know, it's kind of like, reminds me when we flooded, Court was in rebuild mode and I was in basically runaway mode. I had fought enough and I was ready to run. You could give me a couch which had pea stains on it, didn't matter to me. You see, I had come into that place where I was worn down. It's who came to give it, who came during that time? Oh, the guy from Oklahoma. Don Couch came. Don Couch comes and he's giving me this prophetic word and I don't care. He's telling me, oh, what's something, you're living on the west side. There's some kind, you're moving up to the west side and all. And I didn't care. Because at that time, I was like totally broken. I was even kind of encountering, I was told, PTSD. I basically, because I'd seen loss, being in that water, and there was nothing I cared about. I just wanted to get out of here, and I just wanted to. And this man is giving me a prophetic word. Sometimes that's all. It really didn't matter to me. Everything I had had, I had lost. But that, I just couldn't hold on to anything because I was living in self-pity. I was wallowing, I was rolling. It took me months, I remember that, to even get out of that place. Like to even understand that the plan of God on my life was greater. So when we're singing these songs today, it's like, you know, what was that? It's the end of me or whatever. There was something. When I thought I lost it all. Yeah, I'd lost. Everything is gone. Everything is this thing. And God suddenly just, it's not about me. It was because of his faithfulness. If in my planning, if I could plan, I could plan. The only plan I have in my heart is I pray prayers for times when I'm unable to make a proper choice. I pray those things. I say, God, if it ever comes to that point, I don't want to make the wrong choice. Give me that grace. Draw me. Hold on to me. God is always faithful. He will never let us go. We have to really make a choice at some point whether we just want to just give up and walk away from God. People do. People do, and they basically just walk away and never live a life with the glory of the Lord, with the fullness of the Lord. It's just sad. It's like, you know, we taste and we see, and then we say, oh, Aiden offended me, and so I'm going, bye-bye. But really, because I have not really tasted of his goodness. It's like once I taste of that goodness, I don't know how to explain it. There's a just saying, okay, I may not have the most fanciest car, I may not have the most fancy clothes, but Lord, I'll never let you go. Singular purpose. Our life lives like that. Just one desire, Lord. How do I live in your tent? How do I live in the habitation of the Lord? In anything else, if you basically come to that point and say, Lord, how do I live with you? I just want to live there. You know, it's like God just showed me, like, I think it's Psalm 15. It was just during worship. It's like, who will live in my hill? Who will live in the holy hill of the Lord? And, you know, there's many things of it, but I was like, God, as long as you are there, whatever it takes, I'm going to do to come up and live with you. That's it. I have no other place. I have nothing else. Nothing else is guaranteed of me. When we live in that life of self-pity, we are no longer a threat to the enemy. We basically are just toast. The king didn't care. You know, there's a, I think it's 1 Samuel 20, 27 or 21. That's the first time he meets the king of Gath. And he basically tells him, he acts like a madman. David acts like a madman. And he's like, well, why do I have to worry about a madman? Sometimes we basically just do those kind of things because we're just so worried about our life that we'll just do whatever it takes to just save the skin off our back. So I studied about Ziklag. And so they had an archaeology find, and they found the settlement area of Ziklag. The size of Ziklag is 10,000 square meters. 10,000 square meters. David and his 600 men and families lived in 10,000 square meters. That's just one settlement. It's just a hill. Okay? Think of it. You're basically called to rule and conquer the world. You're more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. But in your self-pity, you basically allow the enemy to marginalize you, just to say it again, and live in a tiny place. Look at these walls. Think if this was your 10,000 square kilometers, or square meters, not even kilometers. Look at it. You're very effective over here. Once, you know, but this is limited. Only if people walk through that door, you're going to minister to them. David basically lived in a place like that, a very small, tiny place. Verse 8. Now David and his men went up and made attacks on the Geshurites, Gerzites, and Amalekites. Okay. David once in a while went out every, say, month or whenever, and he made some kind of, you know, ministry things outside, and then he came back. I want you to put ourselves in this position where we understand this is David. We're happy in this little place. Once in a while, we go out and we reach out to people, and that's all we do. Where is the real ruling and reigning that God has called us to be? You are a force to reckon with. Do you walk around with that kind of swagger? Do you walk around saying, hey, this is who I am? I don't even have to tell you who I am. I'm just going to walk in, and you're going to have to know that this is who the Son of the Lord is. I want you to wake up to this reality, because otherwise all we do is live in a little life of self-pity. And we'd be like, oh, I'm happy. Like Martin is happy play fishing, right? We just go on the dock and we fish, and that's it. And that's it. But when you walk in the authority of who you are, who you're called to be, you suddenly have a different way you walk. You walk like in royalty. You walk like you're the king. You know, it is one of those things where we don't understand and we basically are happy. David lived in this place for, it says, 1 year, 4 months. If you go back and read that in 1 Samuel 27, he lived there. He got very comfortable over there. And we sometimes get very comfortable in this kind of a place. That we are like, oh, we are very like, you know, we have our friends, we have our lunch group. We basically all go out and then we'll see you next week. You see? That's how our basically our structure is, you know? So between this and, you know, I'm going to jump to 1 Samuel 30. That is the core of where I'm going. But 1 Samuel 29 is where basically the commanders of the Philistine army basically reject David. And they say, we don't want to go to war with him. We don't trust him. Now, David has fought all his life now. You know, since after he's got anointed, he's fought all his life. He only knows to fight. And in your strength, you're rejected. So David faces rejection. What are you good at? David, you're good as a doctor, but I say, I don't want your doctrine. You can go back home. Can you imagine? You're gone to the field, you're gone to fight, and then suddenly they say, goodbye. And you're basically walking, and you have men with you. That is worse. You have men who are following you. In your heart, you're living in self-pity. You have men who are following you. And where do you develop the courage to even lead people? You see, because you're basically, as David, you're not sure about where you stand with God. or where God is in your life. Because you just say, oh, I can only see my natural circumstance. And that's all. There's no mention of David, you know, praying, or David went to the Lord, nothing. And then you go to 1 Samuel 30. Now, when David and his men came home to Ziklag on the third day, and they found that the Amalekites had made a raid on the south, the Negev, and on Ziklag, and had struck Ziklag and burnt it with fire. The cozy way we know is suddenly burnt with fire. It just burnt. All you have is just ashes. Ashes in your hand. You're weeping, you're crying, and all you have is ashes. I want you to feel this. Like, you literally take it in your hand and all you have is nothing but just ashes. Okay? Verse 4. David and his men with him lifted up their voices and wept until there was no more strength to weep. As a church, we went through this night, not too far back. We went through a Ziklag kind of night. As a church, all of us. You know, when Alan passed away, that night, that basically all of us encountered something like this. I don't want to make it like, you know, oh, just, no, let me just put a plaster, or bandage over it. No. We went through this. We wept, we cried. We like, everything we knew, we just went for it. Okay? I'm so proud of all of y'all. That all of y'all basically, whether you understood it, whether you were uncertain, whether you didn't even know what the answer was, but you just believed. And you just said, we're going after this. We went through a Ziklag night. This is what I want you to know. Now, what do you do? The word of the Lord came and he said that, hey, you may go through a Ziklag night, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. All of us are at different places. We are like, we had this word, we had these things, we had these plans, now what? We're looking strong on the outside, but on the inside, what is our heart like? You know when Kurt was singing that song, what's this, that fourth song? God is here. But that's when that, so everything what God wants to do was in worship. He's really wanting to heal our hearts. I don't know who you are. Like, I know who y'all are. Sorry. I know who y'all are, most of y'all. But I don't know in your heart how hurt you are. In your heart, where, like, you have questions. I cannot answer those. But he can. You see, in this night, we go through a trauma beyond words. We wept, we cried. There were like just days we just look at the wall and just go, it's like, now what? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I want you to know in those things is where now the Lord wants to come in. He wants to step in. And it's crazy, right? I'm not speaking because I want you to not feel that the Lord is on your side. I want you to know that the Lord is even wanting to get into those places of your heart. Because if we don't go there, we will basically live in that life of self-pity. There'll always be a question in our heart, and that will come back. You see, in Christianity, we basically go through the same cycle, and we'll come back until that point, and it will again ask us the same question. Now what? What is your answer? So I want you to understand, it's like, how does David basically jump back? Okay. Let me see what I wrote. You got to understand, I've lived this for the last month. I've lived this message. I've walked through this. Like Pastor Lena asked me, will you just write a message? And you go, no. I've eaten this. I've drank this. I basically just every thinking moment, I basically lived and walked this. I said, what is the answer as a presenter? What do you want us to do, Lord? You see, because this is only the first part. This is just, you have to get this first healed to basically be able to move into what you want to move, what the Lord wants to do. We call it a dark night of anguish, a dark night of the soul. This kind of night David had never trained or come across. In all our training, we had never thought, we had never planned, we had never believed, we never even understood, what do you do now? This same way, we are living like how David lived. And we are like, okay, now what? Like, I have no training. Okay, I know three scriptures. Ask Dan. We are looking for scriptures on resurrection. We're like, now what? Yeah. Now, do you pull the hand? Like, everything we had put, every effort we knew, everything into that. There was nothing like, you know, that we never warred with. We warred with the promises of the Lord. We warred with the word of the Lord. We basically said, not warred with the Lord. We said, Lord, this is what your word says. We stood with it. Yeah. We went there. Yeah. We made ourselves said, Lord, we don't know anything, but Lord, we want you to come. As a church, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud that you just went there. When we had the service over here, we just went over there. We just said, whatever we know, we're just going to go after this. Because that's what we just knew. That's all we understood. The Lord will basically reward that. He never changes. Our understanding of the word may change. But the Lord never changes. He's still the beautiful one. He's still the lover of your soul. He still wants to minister to your heart this morning. I want you to now close your eyes and just get into that place. Just get into that place. Just say, Lord, I give you all, even though I do not know. I do not understand, even as we sang, I do not understand, but I will trust you.